So good to be back. It was an interesting afternoon. I love the look of the inside of my eyelids. And there are no leaks. You know, God has, since the very beginning of time, demanded that His people be separate and distinct from the world. He required it of Israel. They were to be a light to the Gentiles. And because of this, they had to be different. It is recorded in Isaiah 42 and verse 6, I, the Lord, have called thee to righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee of the covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. Even in Luke chapter 2 and verse 36, it was to be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people of Israel. And they were even commanded, Israel, in Ezra chapter 10, verse 11. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do His pleasure. Separate yourselves from the people of the land and from strange wives. The earlier generations were required to separate themselves. To separate themselves from the Egyptians, where they came from, and from the Canaanites, where they were going to. And God had specific reasons for this. He knew that it was to be very important. But they didn't listen. And for centuries after that, it created severe problems for the children of Israel. This principle of distinction holds true for the Lord's church today. In the first two verses of Romans chapter 12, Paul, he wrote, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we may prove what is that's good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Peter also had words to say about this, to emphasize the importance of being distinct. But ye are a chosen people, he writes in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. A royal priesthood, a nation, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, not strange, in the sense that we think of something as peculiar, but different. The Lord's church, I try to save some of these lessons for the evenings when we have fewer visitors, for the simple reason that there are things that go about within the Lord's church in this nation and the world over, that's not right. And we bring these things up, at least I do, so that we can be made aware. We face a mounting threat today to surrender our doctrinal distinctiveness for the preferred mode of pragmatism for growing churches. Pragmatism is a very simple concept. The meaning, of course, in the dictionary sounds more difficult than what it actually is. But in simple terms, it's the philosophy of what works. If it brings the desired result, it is good. If the ideas do not prove workable, then we throw them out. It is the belief that ultimately defines truth that's as that which is useful in reaching a desired objective. Let me give you an example. Say that our goal is to increase our attendance. How would we go about doing that? The Bible says we're to preach the word, to teach, to go out. Pragmatists try to find an easier solution. The desirable option a lot of times is to skirt around the thus saith the Lord concept. For example, because human beings, especially today, are more visually in tune with things, we like to see things. We like things presented to us in a way that excites the senses. We may say, okay, well, let's bring some instruments in. That will bring in our young people from the neighborhood. They'll hear that. It kind of reminds me of that movie years ago with Whoopi Goldberg when she was on the run and they had her as a nun and they had the church open, the cathedral and the singing. And young people started coming in the door because they liked what they heard. The current push has a lot less to do with respect for the scriptures and more to do with fixing declining attendance. We find in a lot of these cases where there is a bending of biblical principles. We need to resort to entertainment. This will allow us to keep people's attention longer. Some of you have been sitting in these pews or in church pews for an awful long time. You're not oftentimes excited by something that is fancy, but other by what is spoken. We have a tendency, depending on how we were raised, as far as our attention span. There are congregations. Vicki and I, over the years, have visited a few in our travels where they would have two sets of services, a contemporary and a traditional. The contemporary is more of a spirited worship, if you want to say that. You will maybe not necessarily find instrumental music, but let's just say it is a lot more spirited. But what does this say about those who attend traditional services? If they condone it, if they say, well, that's okay as long as you cater to our desires also, they're allowing pragmatists more authority than Ephesians 5:19 or Colossians 3:16. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Let the word of the Lord dwell richly in you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. See, a lot of folks just don't understand what our worship is about. Of course, the same can be said with speakers. I can say with all certainty that I'm not here to entertain you. That is not my goal. Several years ago, we had attended services at another Church of Christ. We were actually members before we left. One Sunday evening, they had a guest speaker. And this guest speaker, and some of you may have seen it, he had a canvas up on the stage, and when we would sing, he would paint on the canvas. Supposedly what was happening was the songs would inspire his painting. Now, I don't know for sure, but I would venture to say that he probably only had two or three different paintings that he actually drew. It was entertainment. What did we learn from him? Only that he could paint. He was a good artist, but there was no message. How does anything like this accomplish whatever the speaker is trying to deliver from the pulpit? Peter, he writes in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. Now, what is an oracle? Webster's 20th century dictionary, it means a divine announcement, a prophecy, to speak, also to beseech, entreat, and to pray. Our worship, regardless, is always to be spirit and truth. Always. You know, the same principle applies to the expanded role of women within the church itself. There's an argument that rages out there that if we don't give our women more authority, we're going to lose them. Brethren, look around you. Look around you. Have we lost any of our women? Come here on a Saturday, the third Saturday of the month, and how many of our ladies are in their Bible class here? I know there is one local church where this is the case, and it's not just this one church, it's happening all over. These acts include things such as praise teams, where they have men and women who help the song leader, so to speak. They bring up the different sopranos and altos and tenors and basses so that everybody can have a leader for their part. This is used to, as they say, make the singing sound better. But with all this, the scriptures are ignored. Some say, well, I've been given permission, so I'm not usurping the authority. I'm not usurping the authority of the men. Who gave the men the authority? God. It is not the men's authority that's being usurped, but it is God's authority. If it wasn't that big of a deal, God would have said so. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's kind of a lengthy reading, verses 9 through 15, where Timothy, receiving these words from Paul, he's guiding Timothy in this letter in a lot of things. And he said, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness, with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, yet they continue in faith, and charity, and holiness with sobriety. You notice back in the one part, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over man, but to be in silence. That authority was given by God. Adam was created first. Adam was not deceived. So there are reasons. But there is a growing disdain that is taking hold rapidly of many of our churches today. Our pure, simple teachings and worship are thought by many to be outdated. old-fashioned. You can't hold young people together doing things the way we've always done. This is, anyway, the 21st century. We have to get with it. I'm not against projectors, screens, but I am against taking away from the message and from worship. There is only one reason that we are here on the first day of the week, and that is to worship God. It's no other purpose. It's not a social time with all of us to get together, to exchange things that have gone on the past week. It is a time to give God the honor of helping us through the past week. There are a lot of sideshow tactics that are used today that is designed to please and invigorate. We noticed it probably, Vicki and I, more than any other time of our years at camp. A lot of things were conducted there that really bothered us. And we did as we thought we should. We approached. And we voiced our displeasure. Oftentimes, the common reply that you receive is that it is okay to agree to disagree. Or the scriptures say we can't. There's nowhere in the scriptures that says we can't do this. What it all boiled down to was mind your own business. Maybe some of us have done that too. But when it comes to standing for the truth, it's every single one of us's business. We are all charged with the same thing, to defend the truth. The doctrine of Christ to a lot of these folks is secondary in nature. Scriptures are loose. We can adapt to the scriptures to make it fit today. It is important that we watch out for the pragmatists. They don't come through the door and say, I'm here, I'm a pragmatist. We won't hear the name, but we will know the fruit that it bears. Our worship, in all aspects, God wants it to be orderly. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 14 and verse 40, Paul, writing to the Corinthians about their worship, let all things be done decently and in order. We have a pattern for our worship here. And we deviate from things at time to time, and there's not a problem with that. As long as our tenets of worship are all combined in our services. If Butch wants to lead four songs before we have a prayer, Butch can lead four songs before we have a prayer. That's not unscriptural. But if we don't pray, then we have a problem. It's not for us to give the increase. That's not our job. We are only to plant seeds. Paul advised the Corinthians this, his first letter, chapter 3 and verse 6. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. By changing how we worship, by placing entertainment into worship to spice it up, we have defiled the temple of God. And there is a warning. Paul gave it to the same people. If any man defiles the temple of God, he shall be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 17. Again, I say, I know today people are more visually oriented. You can ask any school teacher. My years in the military, we were also taught the same thing. Students learn more when they can actually see what they're studying. It is better than just trying to remember something that is written. When I taught classes in firefighting, if I could actually take them out and show the theories in actual situations, they understood it. They remembered it. They didn't forget it. But brethren, we have to read. This is visual. It's visual in the sense that being distinctive, we're not like our neighbors. We are totally different. How many souls will you win for Christ if you're doing the exact same things your neighbors do? What will you tell them? Well, you have to change what you're doing. Well, you're doing the same thing. If anyone is truly concerned about their souls, they will get just as much from listening to the truth being spoken as they will being entertained. It's the one thing Vicki and I believe we are so grateful about being here is the soundness of this congregation. And we all realize that we have work to do, and since we've been here, we've made changes and done some things a little different and tried different avenues of reaching the community. And we'll continue working, not if it doesn't work, we'll do away, as long as it's contained within God's scriptures. We know that we need to bring more of our neighbors to Christ, and we'll get there. We take the steps that we can take. As Katie can attest, running down a hill with roots in the way, if you go too fast, you're going to stumble and fall. Taking it nice and easy, one foot in front of the other, you'll get to where you're going. May not be as quickly as you want, but you'll be there in one piece. That is what we're doing here today. That is what we are doing in this coming year, is we're taking a step at a time, one foot in front of the other. We're using the wisdom of the men of the congregation and also through the guidance and wisdom of our ladies to be able to let this congregation be a beacon in our community. We have a tremendous opportunity. And we're not going to let it go to waste. If someone says, well, you don't want to go, the Malden Church is awful conservative, I hold that as a badge of honor. Because it means we're staying true to the principles set forth in the scriptures. All that we will do, we will stay within the confines of God's word. And we will accept the fact that occasionally we'll lose someone. But we can hold our heads up and stand fast, knowing that the fault is not ours. Edification that we receive comes from knowing and learning His Word, and walking out the doors knowing that we worship God in truth and spirit. Something that will last through the week, not just till we go to bed Sunday night. His word will build us up, and we will leave knowing that God was our audience. That God was our audience, and that He was truly deserving of the worship. We each have a long way to go in our spiritual lives. No gospel preacher, regardless of how long they've been preaching, studying the Word, will ever tell you that they know it all. It's why they continue each and every day to study the Word. What sense would it make for a preacher like a David Farr or Guy in Woods to think they know everything and stop studying? I'm sure Brother Farr would tell you. I'm sure Brother Jamie would tell you. They don't stop studying. It's an ongoing process, each and every day. It's the only way to know what God wants us to do and how to handle His Word. If there's anyone here this evening who needs the prayers of the congregation, who needs to make things right with God, we want to offer you an invitation. If you're not a child of God, we want to help you in that endeavor. We want to help you and show you the Scriptures that show God's plan of salvation. Not man's ideas, but God's plan. God's ideas. We'll let you read the Scriptures. We'll let you make your mind. Show you where the importance lies. If you're ready to make a decision, we don't want you to delay. If you're concerned about the folks around, if it's something you'd rather want to be done in private, we can make necessary arrangements. It doesn't have to be in front of the whole congregation, but you must confess Christ before men.